broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 8th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We reject revolution, unless it's a peaceful revolution. Then we stand with the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ. Two incredible guests today with me, George Ballantine. Welcome, sir.
How you doing, Sam, and all Liberty Roundtable listeners? Always glad to be here. It's another beautiful day here. Sunny day by me, but, you know, I always say if we wake up in the morning, anything after that's a blessing. We got a lot of work to do, Sam. A lot of work.
Amen. Amen to that. It's a rainy day where I'm at, but we're grateful for the water because we need it. Lance Migliaccio, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Appreciate it. Always happy to be here and always excited to talk to your listeners through you. So we got a lot to cover today. We got a great guest coming on, Eric Prince from Blackwater. Obviously,
founder,
you know who that is, I'm sure.
Of Blackwater, former CEO of Blackwater as well. Be an interesting discussion, to say the least, coming up. Keep an eye out for that. Now, the Big MIG, ladies and gentlemen, radio, TV, they're everywhere. TheBigMIG.com. Look for Lance, look for George, look for the Big MIG on all social everywhere. It's also on your radio every Saturday, by the way. Now, I got an interesting question. Headline says, Daniels briefly discussed the hush money deal and explained how the whole thing became public. Then the cross-examination started. That was the end of yesterday's court case for the Donald. Today, they're taking a day off. Tomorrow, they say sparks fly once again. But here's my question for both of you. I'm not very smart. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, so I'm going to ask you guys to help me out with this. Let's let George take a stab at it first, and then Lance, and here's the question. Ready?
Shoot.
If it's a hush money for $130,000, and if Donald paid $130,000 through Michael Cohen and they can prove it, which they can't so far after two-plus weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, 4 weeks of testimony. They don't even have that done to the satisfaction of any expert that I've heard from. However, here's my question. If somebody pays hush money and then the story comes out anyway, it's not hush anymore, right? I'm not very smart, but it's not. Okay, so does he get his money back?
Well, that's a good question. Yes, he should get his money back because she did say that she wanted to get out of the NDA. So, I mean, should... Just by getting out of the NDA, he should get his money back. But here's the thing. Like yesterday, she testified, and the judge allowed this, which should be a mistrial, that she detailed her sexual experience with Trump. But meanwhile, you have a letter from her and statements from her saying she never had sex with Trump. So which one is it? It's conflicting. But here's it. I'm going to throw a wrench in.
She was sworn not to tell for $130,000. Shouldn't she tell the court I'm under private contract not to tell?
Listen, I'm going to give you guys something else to think about right now. You all remember when everybody says a storm is coming, the storm is coming? What if she is that storm? Ah!
There you have it. Stormy Daniel, or, you know, porn nickname or whatever else. But if she's sworn not to tell by private contract and she tells, number one, is there a penalty for breaching the contract? We haven't seen the contract, have we, Lance?
No. I mean, what we have seen is two affidavits saying that it never occurred, that she signed. So I'm not really sure how that all plays in. And on top of it, Stormy Daniels already owes Donald Trump $600,000, which even in testimony yesterday, she said she is not going to pay him. So I don't know if she's not going to pay him because she can't pay him or because she's unwilling to pay him. At the end of the day, she's obviously very unethical. The signed affidavits state otherwise. Now she's contradicted herself. I understand she's got a major drug problem. I also understand she didn't do very well on the witness stand. At this point, I don't think she's a reliable witness, and I don't think she's got any credibility with the courts or anyone else. I mean, she's not credible to me, Sam.
I just wonder if he gets money back, though. I mean, I thought it was a hush deal, and if she's not going to be a hush about it, what is the penalty in the contract? I mean, anybody in their right mind would have a contract that's like, hey, if you breach this, this happens, right? Am I stupid?
No, but I still don't get it, because at the end of the day, Michael Cohen's own banker has indicated that he took out a home equity line of credit to pay this amount. Why would he do that for Trump if it's really Trump's money that allegedly paid it? And at the end of the day, Trump hasn't had any connection to the payment, any of the accounting or the rest of it. This is one of those really just offensive Department of Justice cases. And really, I should call it the Department of Injustice for what they're doing. None of it makes any sense. I don't believe the details are any good whatsoever.
We still don't have a crime. They still haven't said what the crime is. So I don't understand how you're going to trial for where nobody knows what the crime is. That's what's astonishing. But meanwhile, the judge now acknowledges he made a mistake by letting Stormy testify yesterday about her alleged sex encounters, and it's going to instruct the jury to disregard that. Which, how are you going to? It's already embedded in her mind.
It's impossible to undo it. Now, they say there's guardrails on her testimony. That's why Trump's attorneys pushed for a mistrial on this thing. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. There's not guardrails on her testimony. She made a mockery of the court. It turned into a circus yesterday, guys.
Yeah, I mean, this, whatever happens with this case, it will go to the appellate. It'll get appealed, just for mistrial, just for that statement. Just for that statement alone, yes, they allowing the jury to hear that. So,
yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, they wanted to talk about Trump's pajamas. They really wanted to just undermine his integrity by trying to give some sort of an unsavory picture of what occurred.
That's fine, but embarrassment has nothing to do with crimes, people.
100%. And that's the plan, right? They have to undermine him to the public because he's doing so well in the polls across the country that the only way they can do it is by these false, and injustice attacks that are happening all across everywhere.
Anyway, very, very strange stuff, I'll tell you that. Now, Judge Cannon in the other trial delays Trump documents trial. But it's delayed forever, I guess, or indefinitely, because they won't even set a trial date. Lance, what's this one about?
Well, let's face it. I mean, they caught Jack Smith tampering with evidence. I think we're talking about deprivation of rights under color of law and lots of civil rights violations, and it's criminal. He basically staged a lot of the photos that they submitted, and he told the courts he didn't. Now that's come out that he has. What other things has he done in this case? And that's the problem right now. You've got these Department of Justice USAs and AUSAs, and I believe they are constantly violating the law to get these prosecutions and to be successful. I mean, the government has a 96% conviction rate. The only way you're going to get a 96% conviction rate is if you're cheating. And I think the judge has recognized that this case has been fabricated from the get-go. And really, at the end of the day, it's also been obviously done straight out of the White House. We've already seen that there's been meetings with upper prosecutors of Smith's, with White House officials prior to the indictment ever being issued or the FBI raid ever occurring. So this case just stinks to high heaven, Sam.
Trump says arrest Jack Smith after special counsel admits lying to the courts. WND.com with that story. So he admitted he lied to the court. Now, I think that Jack Smith deserves due process like everybody else. But my problem with this whole thing is, hey, they lied to the court. Now, how much can you trust the whole prosecution side of this thing now?
Well,
zero.
Sam, I have to make a correction
lies,
here, guys.
There's no trust. Yes, sir.
Hold on. We have to make a correction. Jack Smith is not special counsel. He was not confirmed to be special counsel.
Yeah.
So that in itself should be thrown out. Let's just get the record straight.
Well, so who lied, Jack or the counsel?
They all lied. I don't know. They all lied. But he was never confirmed to be special counsel. So he cannot. So the case should not be going forward.
You know, I think, Sam, I think the most offensive part of it is this qualified immunity, sovereign immunity thing that occurs with government officials. And at the end of the day, I believe they've already violated the terms of that. Whenever you violate the obligation and your oath of office to the Constitution and otherwise, and there's a whole set of guidelines that, prosecutors, U.S. prosecutors have to abide by. I don't think he has qualified immunity anymore. And in my opinion, that's what they hide behind. That's why they continue to commit crimes in all these Department of Justice cases across the United States. And they get away with it because there's no accountability and no consequences for their actions.
There you have it. So I don't know if Trump gets his money back or not, people, but in my opinion, if you pay somebody hush money, there's usually a contract and there should be a penalty or something if you talk. Now she's literally telling it all to the court, and that transcript is being released every day. So she's telling the whole world. And my question is, does Donald get money back or what? Go ahead and skip the break. I just find that interesting. So Jack Smith should be arrested, or, you know, he should at least have due process. I agree with that. But something needs to happen to these clowns. And Jim Jordan says he's going to look into it, Lance.
Yeah, look into it. Let's have another committee. Let's have another hearing. Let's stomp our feet. And I'm not picking on Jim Jordan. I actually like Jim Jordan.
They're like, this is really bad, but no harm, no foul, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like Jim Jordan, but at the end of the day, it's the same thing we hear over and over again, Sam. It's always, they're always going to talk about the inequity of something. They're going to talk about, oh, this is really wrong. But where's the accountability? Where's the consequences? Where are the arrests? Where are the indictments? At the end of the day, tampering with evidence, that is a statutory crime under federal law. Why isn't he being charged for tampering with evidence? Because, again, what he's doing is he's violating the defendant's rights, Donald Trump. But again, nothing happens. They won't even report it to the OPR, which is the Office of Professional Responsibility, or the OIG. And what they should have done is already reported it to both of them. And they should have filed a bar complaint against Jack Smith immediately. I don't know what Trump's attorneys are doing, but at the end of the day, this shouldn't have to wait. The judge could have immediately said, well, I'm going to file a bar complaint against you. She has the authority from the bench to report to the OPR, report to the OIG, and file bar complaints. But it never happens. These prosecutors do this over and over and again, and I'm just disgusted by the Department of Justice.
Well, we're just wasting more time and more of our taxpayer money with all these inquiries, these panels. For what? It, like Lance just said, all it accomplishes is nothing. It's a clown show. It's just to look good for their constituents. If there was actual consequences that came with it, I'd bring it on. But we get nothing. We impeach a president over bull BS twice, but we can't impeach a president when we have the real facts, the real evidence. We have the sauce, the receipts.
Amen. Here's, we can't get nothing. And here's the sauce on Joe Biden. Speaking of that, this, in my opinion, is criminal activity at the highest levels. Barack Obama committed it as well. Headline says, Biden goes off script, admits real reason why he's allowing illegals to invade the United States. Yeah, I guess he admitted it during an interview on a Hispanic radio station, Lance.
Yeah, that's correct. Sam, we've been saying this all along, have we not? You and I have even talked about it on your show. At the end of the day, they're creating a ghost voter pool. And Biden knows exactly what he's doing because they have lost complete track. And the numbers they're giving with the gotaways and all, I'm hearing is more like 25 million. Now, think about this ghost voter pool. These names, they don't even know if these are the actual people because most of the illegal invaders are throwing away their IDs on the other side of the border. We heard over and over again how there's IDs all over the ground. They're throwing away their backpacks. They're coming in. Some of them even aren't stopping at the border. Joe Biden has already flown directly into the United States over 500,000 illegal invaders. He is obviously broke so many laws in what he's doing, and Kamala Harris is just as guilty. But here he is admitting the real reason. And when he talks about this off script, he's talking about 11 million aliens, right? And he says it's an even bigger influx now in terms of Hispanic voters or Hispanic citizens. That's what he says. It's now in terms of Hispanic citizens. Then he goes on to say Hispanic communities, part of the future of America. 28 out of every 100 students in school speak Spanish. 28. Now, that's kind of the wording he's used. But we knew this all along, right? I mean, this invasion makes no sense. It's not good for America. It's not good for the American people. And it's not how the laws of the United States are supposed to be performed on.
Yeah, that's if you care about the law. All right, here's Joe Biden on the Hispanic discussion here.
It's a little bit like back in the 1840s when the Great Exodus from Ireland, because of the famine and the way Irish Catholics are treated. We said, no, we don't need any more of those folks. There's a large influx. There's even a bigger influx now in terms of Hispanic voters, or Hispanic citizens who want to become citizens. So it's just enormously important.
Hispanic voters, Hispanic citizens, there's an influx, basically an influx of illegals, which he's not mentioning. But listen, this has been a Democrat talking point for a long time. This is not new to Joe Biden. Now, Joe's a criminal for allowing it to happen without a doubt. He should be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But Barack Obama literally was saying the same thing when he was talking to Hispanic media. Here is Barack making the point a lot more clear because at least he can talk. Here's Biden. Here's Obama.
Many of the millennials, dreamers, undocumented citizens, and I call them citizens because they contribute to this country, are fearful of voting. So if I vote, will immigration know where I live? Will they come for my family and deport us?
Not true. Okay. And the reason is, first of all, when you vote, you are a citizen yourself, and there is not a situation where the voting rolls somehow are transferred over and people start investigating, etc. The sanctity of the vote is strictly confidential.
So you literally have this media lady with a Hispanic media. You literally have Barack Obama, and now you have Joe Biden talking to another Hispanic media. They're all saying, look, illegals are citizens. Illegals can vote. I mean, they're blatantly in your face admitting it, George.
They are. I mean, they're coming over. We had how many people sign up to vote without ID between Texas, Georgia, Arizona? I think it was well over 1 million. It's probably climbing up. I mean, our voter rolls are astronomically incorrect. And they need to be cleaned up, but they fight us on this day in and day out. I mean, we're actually slowly getting somewhere recently in the last few days with some court cases being in Georgia, what is going on. And we just got to continue fighting because they want the illegals. They need them to for the votes. And that's the only way they're going to win. It's either by putting illegals to vote or just keep cheating.
Well,
that is cheating anyway, but cheating by fake ballots and hacking the systems.
I am bothered by, and more than bothered, I'm angry. I'm angry that they use the word citizens to describe these people. These people are not citizens, and they're coming in from not just Hispanic countries. They're coming in from 106 different foreign countries. They haven't gone through the legal process. We're not vetting them correctly. At the end of the day, calling them a citizen or calling them voters, that's offensive to the people that have had to fight their way into this country. We have people that have come here legally.
But it's blatantly a lie, though.
It's a lie.
It's offensive, but it's an absolute lie.
And it's a crime.
If you allow those criminals, those illegals, to vote in our election systems, and if you call them citizens or, you know, pretend they've got citizenship, that is absolutely against the law.
Yeah.
Well, when does the law apply to Democrats?
Multiple crimes are being committed by the Biden administration and by both sides of the aisle, both the Republicans and the Democrats. And they're acting like somehow we're stupid and we don't recognize what they're doing. It is very clear, all enemies, foreign and domestic. And at this point, I look at D.C. as a domestic enemy of the people of the United States because they are violating everything they're sworn to uphold. And let's face it, Sam, if you were running an illegal immigration operation, they'd be kicking in your door right now.
There's no question. George is right, too. And you say, when do the Democrats, you know, obey the law? I mean, that's
a valid
point, too. And the reason they don't is because nobody demands or prosecutes them for their violations of the law. So they continue to get away with it.
Well, there's no consequences. There is no consequences for them. So they're going to keep doing it. But the question is, it's the law. So how is it allowed to be circumvented like this? But it's not only this, they do it in everything else. And like Lance would say, they use lawfare against everybody. But meanwhile, we have billion-dollar mega Republican donors. Where are they? They should help. Where is the fund to help combat all this lawfare? I mean, you got to give it to the Democrats. They do come together. They pull together. They'll vote together. They'll stand with unity.
Where their mouth is.
Right. The Republican is done up. That's it. You should just get rid of the party and start over. We don't need
Hang on, let me stomp my feet for the Republicans. Let me stomp my feet because that's all they do. They make a bunch of noise and they don't do anything else. And these are multiple crimes being committed. But that's the problem, right? The Department of Injustice is going to go after Trump and they're going to fraudulently tamper with evidence. And that's what they're going to waste our resources on. But they're going to allow Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and our congressional members to allow this illegal border invasion to go on. And I want immigration. But I want legal immigration, and I want engineers, doctors, lawyers. I want good contributing people, not people from transnational gangs or MS-13 invading the border. I want good people to come into the United States that will actually help the United States be a better country.
And I want them to come in a controlled way that we can assimilate them and handle them. Right now, the influx is literally melting down all kinds of communities. They don't have the infrastructure to take care of. They don't have places for people to come. I'm fine if we craft an immigration program that brings the right people here, that vets them appropriately, if they've got some kind of a sponsor so that they're not on the public dole in any way, that they can, you know, I don't have any problem with appropriate immigration for the right reasons and the right circumstances. But speaking of all their crimes, though, it's the deep state committing the crimes. Our guest here in a couple of minutes, Eric Prince, former CEO of and founder of Blackwater, is going to break down even more of their crimes. Right, Lance?
Yeah, I mean, Eric's coming on to talk about the 702 FISA. We already know that this is an illegal surveillance of United States citizens. He's going to be talking about, and he's going to be talking about big tech data collection. And Eric is an expert in so many areas because he's dealt with so many different governments over the years. And I think it's going to be a great conversation. It's going to be super interesting because there's one guy that's got insight. It's definitely him.
In the meantime, though, you should know that the Boy Scouts, they've changed their name now. I guess it's going to go into effect next year. It's just a strange, in my deal. Boy Scouts of America reveals name change. Organization will be called Scouting America. And that'll happen next year. And so they've gone fully woke now. They've already, you know, sold everybody down the river and all the conservatives and Christians and moral people left. Now they're just going to call it Scouting America. And I think what they need to do is they need to basically say, you know, scouting for child, whatever. I mean, all I'm telling you is this is going off the rails, guys.
Wait, why'd they change the name? Because they're going woke?
Yeah, because they don't want to say. Oh,
so what about the Girl Scouts? They still keeping their name?
I don't know yet. They're a different organization. They haven't said. I guess they are.
I mean, because let's get some facts here. Over 80,000 boys were abused by 7,000 men in the Boy Scouts that resulted in a $2.4 billion bankruptcy settlement.
Other than that, it's not so bad, Lance.
I mean, look, how ridiculous is that? They've got to change the name to make it acceptable. This whole woke ideology, DEI, and all the rest of this garbage is just a misdirection, right? It's a sleight of hand. Let's focus on changing the name of the Boy Scouts, but let's not worry about the border. Let's focus on making sure we have drag queen story hour in schools, but let's not worry about the hundreds of billions of dollars getting funneled into Ukraine and laundered out of it. I mean, it's disgusting, right? Don't look at Joe Biden leaving $100 billion worth of weapons in Afghanistan. Let's focus on something else.
It's insane. George, you get the last word on this thing.
Well, this government, so let's just talk about Afghanistan and over there. We have war. We didn't have war under Trump. We have more now, once again, cash being sent over to Iran and Afghanistan and Hamas now by the Biden administration under the cover of darkness. We've seen this with Iran.
Unjust, immoral war. Yeah, he should go to prison as a war criminal for funding. Congress hasn't even declared a war of any kind. How are we there? How are we funding it? The answer is because Congress gave him money and now they're giving him protection as he carries it out.
Who's protecting him? Why are they? Why? Who's okaying this money? Is he allowed to just send money without approval?
No, Congress gave him big old slush funds. He can do whatever he wants. That's my point about Jim Jordan and about Mike Johnson and these guys. You know, they act like it's, you know, other guys are going off the rails and they're trying to hold the line. No, they're funding all this. Every bit of funding that Joe, you know, comes up with, they've granted him in weird ways without controlling the details of the funds so he can do what he wants with it. That's the problem. Quick pause. Our guest in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Ryan Daniels. Jurors in the Trump hush money trial may have wanted to hit the shower after hearing testimony from adult film actress Stormy Daniels Tuesday. She recounted an alleged encounter with the New York businessman years ago, saying the two met in person at a celebrity golf tournament. She testified to the court that one thing led to another, ending with sex in Trump's hotel room. Trump attorney Will Scharf says much of it needs to be stricken from the jury record.
The material introduced in court today is so prejudicial and has so little probative value that it has essentially infected this case.
The judge at one point did warn prosecutors of taking details a little too far with Stormy on the stand. Trump's accused of falsifying business records tied to paying the adult film star to stay quiet just prior to the 2016 election that he won. Trial is in recess until Thursday. Reportedly in protest of ongoing Israeli Defense Force operations inside Rafah and southern Gaza, the U.S. government has stopped a shipment of weapons meant for Israel. This comes as ceasefire talks have stalled with Hamas. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying the things Hamas has agreed to in a proposed deal in the works with U.S. state officials are no longer sufficient for Israel. The last Israel-Hamas truce came in late November, where a number of Palestinian prisoners were swapped for Israeli hostages. A popular social media app is now suing the U.S. government. USA's Tim Berg with those details.
TikTok is suing the U.S. government over its effort to have the popular app banned in the country. The lawsuit was filed Tuesday in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. District by the social media app and its parent company, ByteDance. It argues protecting Americans from the Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act violates the First Amendment.
This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live with your host, Sam Bushman, and your special guest, Eric Prince. I'm Lance Migliaccio, joined by George Ballantyne. Eric Prince, American businessman, former Navy SEAL, and founder of the private military company Blackwater. He served as Blackwater CEO until 2009 and as its chairman until its sale in 2010. He was also the head of a private equity firm, Frontier Resource Group, and was chairman of the Hong Kong-listed Frontier Services Group until 2021, and now founder and CEO of Unplugged.com, a secure phone system. Obviously, we are all worried about security. We're going to be talking about the FISA 702 warrants and, of course, data collection. All of us something very worried about. Eric, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Listen, we were talking, you and I, online over on X, and we're talking about the concerns of the 702 FISA warrant. It's been hot in the news, obviously. Lots of people are not happy about it. Seems unconstitutional. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, we have a Fourth Amendment so that there is a due process. If you're suspected of a crime, that the law enforcement is supposed to gather evidence, take it to which includes probable cause, take it to a judge, get a warrant, be able to do a deeper dive. What this FISA, it's not even an extension, it's a massive enlargement of it, and it's disgusting. So what's happened in the modern world is that your data that's collected on your phone, where you go, what you buy, who you call, what you browse, all of that is collected by big tech and sold to advertisers to push you stuff. The apps sitting on your phone collect all of your habits of life. They collect your conversations, everything. And basically, the FBI and federal law enforcement got sick of getting beaten up or yelled at Congress for saying, why have you bought all this commercial data snooping on Americans from these commercial companies like 246,000 times? And so what the feds did is they just came back and said, now with what was just passed into law, the government can compel any company that has any personal data, your schedule, what you bought, what you browsed, messages sent, voicemails, anything, they can compel it to be turned over without a warrant at all. And so I can't see how that stands up constitutionally, but it's a further evidence of the creeping enlargement of the blob of Washington, of this Orwellian Big Brother, that is certainly not what the founders ever intended. And I'm fully disgusted. Obviously, all the Democrats supported it, and I'm disgusted how many Republicans went along with it as well.
Yeah, the surveillance state seems to be supported by both sides of the aisle. There's no doubt. Our opinion on the Big Mig Talk radio show and, of course, on our regular show is that it's just a uniparty. We got one group that's effectively violating the laws of the United States, obviously not following what the founders and framers wanted. They operate unconstitutionally and non-constitutionally. It's just expansive, and they continue to do it. And I think it's incredible the way this document's been written, even the fact that they've given themselves in Congress an exclusion where they have to be, it has to be a direct request if somebody wants to pull a FISA warrant on them. So it's kind of laws for thee, not for me. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure where we go from here. How do we stop this kind of data collection and this intrusion? Because they're doing it with no warrant. We know that that isn't constitutional. You know, what's the step? How do we solve it? Because I think this problem just continues to get bigger, Eric.
I agree. Before we get to the solving it, I want to kind of rewind Eric's kind of commentary on this to when George Bush did this. You know, he started spying on the American people. They put Homeland Security in place. The Republicans did all this. George said in the beginning when he got caught doing it, oh, no, I'm just spying on foreigners. Don't worry. It's if they're terrorists and they're foreigners, then, you know, if you're not a terrorist or you're not a foreigner, you don't need to worry about this. And then George Bush got caught, and it turned out that he was monitoring everybody's communications, all of it. And then he said, well, I'm sorry, but it's necessary. And Congress bailed him out. Instead of impeaching George Bush and criminally charging him for his abuse of the Fourth, Fifth, you know, all kinds of amendments, all kinds of keeping your hands off, if you will, then Congress really basically just protected and backed George and gave him, you know, some kind of immunity or protection for his criminal activity. In my opinion, that makes them all criminals. Isn't this where it really started, at least publicly speaking, Eric?
Look, the national horror that happened after 9/11, people were very scared. And some of the intelligence community said, oh, we need this ability to monitor jihadi communications coming into the United States to figure out if there's any other inside threats inside the United States. And the problem with endless wars, where you don't end conflicts, but you manage them ad nauseum, means that the power of those government agencies never gets called into question, and they just keep growing and growing and growing. And the one thing, it's a real mistake that the U.S. government continues to make, is it just keeps throwing money at a problem. And so these bureaucracies get larger. They're certainly not more competent, but they keep asking for more authority and more power to try to justify their existence, especially when they mess up. Because there was actually a FISA process that predated 9/11 even, but all those powerful federal agencies missed that conspiracy that was 9/11. So I just wrote a long editorial in IM 1776. It's kind of a niche journal, but it's kind of a takedown of 30 years of neocon foreign policy, questioning how we even conduct those wars, because we have lost our way on the counterterrorism front, and certainly with the pervasive surveillance, which is, yes, it's probably started out with the right intent of stopping another 9/11 from happening. But now when it's directed at all collection, at any communications that's happening inside of America amongst Americans, that is antithetical to what the Constitution states, and it must be stopped. It must be reversed, or what we recognize or recognized as America will very soon be completely gone.
Now, Mike Johnson carried the ball. Not only did he approve it in backroom deals and secret rooms, there was a lot of conservatives saying, let's let FISA die, let's let 702 go. But all they did was tweak the provisions and expand it secretly and then pass it in big omnibus spending bills. In my opinion, it makes all who signed on criminal. The only leverage we the people have, Eric, as far as I can tell, is at the next election cycle, vote them out with such large margins that they can't commit election fraud. I don't know that we have any other choices at this point. When the legislature, instead of protecting us from the executive branch, doubles down and backs the executive branch against the people, the deep state becomes too powerful. They've got secret combinations above the people, and that's what we're seeing today, right?
Yes. Look, the really disgusting thing for me is that the Republicans in the House are supposed to control the power of the purse. And the way to stop these federal programs is to not fund them. And yet the same very swamp-dominated people get to these appropriations committee. You're right in being angry at Johnson. I don't know what got into his head or how he was extorted to go along with that. But, yeah, they should have let the FISA extension die. And now we're stuck with it. And I had great hopes when he became speaker, but man, he has been a huge disappointment.
Well, Sam, didn't they put in this new they added into it that where Congress can't be surveilled or have to be notified and approve it. So there is no consequences for them. So why not approve it? They don't care in that sense.
Yes, I wasn't aware of the exception for Congress, but that certainly wouldn't that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they've exempted themselves on healthcare requirements, on ADA requirements. They are the embodiment of rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah, it's in Section 105. That the section is titled "Restrictions Relating to Conduct of Certain Queries by Federal Bureau of Investigation." So, and the way it's worded, I would have to say that it's intentionally obtuse. It's just you read it, and it gives them a lot of wiggle room. At the end of the day, to me, this is collusion. They just continue to operate, extra constitutionally or unconstitutionally. You can title it any way you want. At the end of the day, I don't know what we do, because I agree with you, Sam, vote them out. But is that even possible with this election system and the corruption? Because you have to look way back. The foreign surveillance system, when they built the Hammer supercomputer and the Hammer exploit, it was all about foreign surveillance. And then we were told shortly thereafter in a case in Las Vegas in 2006 that Dennis Montgomery was involved in. Those foreign surveillance systems had been turned around on the American public, and they'd been using them to compromise FISA court judges, district court judges, government officials. And I believe that's what's happened to Johnson. I think he's compromised. I've heard some stories about him being drugged into a skiff for a private discussion, that he came out of there white-faced. It sure seems like it, because he talked a big game on his way in, and now everything he does seems to be opposite of what we thought he was going to do. And I'm disgusted by all of it, Sam.
It reminds you of Reagan getting shot. You know, he came with a different tune until he got shot, and then he kind of changed his tune, and Bush got put it on his coattails. Anytime someone decides to stand against the establishment, the regime, if you will, things seem to go south for them. Is there no other way, Eric, than to either play ball or lose your career, lose your reputation, and possibly die? Is there any other way for these people to stand up, do you think?
Look, there are still some stalwarts in Congress that will fight for liberty, both in the House and the Senate. Support those. And, this comes down to money for politicians. And the trade associations, the lobbyists that shower money on the guys that do the wrong thing, I think it's up to the American people to vote with their dollars. It's probably more important to pay attention to where dollars are going to causes that they don't agree with. And it's probably more important for them to pay attention to that than it is to who's winning in football, basketball, or baseball.
Yeah.
It requires an informed, educated, engaged citizenry to have a republic. If you want to live under a dictatorship and be distracted by bread and circuses, which is effectively what you could even call professional sports, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a different. A lot of people live like that, but that's certainly not how I choose to live. And we need to have a government that is responsive. I think COVID was a very interesting example of the importance of local government. Suddenly, your mayor really matters, and your county commissioner, and the local sheriff. And so, being engaged at that level, you can still keep some of the madness out. The reason we have problems in America right now is because our federal government has gone way beyond what its scope was supposed to be.
And 100%.
And it's been enabled by a fiat currency that we can, with effectively a blank checkbook, that Washington never has to make a guns or butter choice. They just throw a lot of money at everything. And of course, you're going to have a runaway federal government when you can spend unlimited money on it.
But as they move to the BRICS system around the world, and as they start to trade, petrol or gas, if you will, oil, for other currencies, not the U.S. dollar, the hegemony's gone, Eric.
You're right. And that actually may be, in a twisted way, a benefit to American liberty, because it will force our government to have to make choices and not fund unlimited welfare systems on top of unlimited defense spending and all the other discretionary nonsense they do.
Unless they throw a digital currency on us and take us to war.
Say again?
What if they throw a digital currency on us and take us to war? World War III is their only way out.
Look, if you travel through rural China, there's very little cash left anymore. People pay through WeChat. All of it is controlled through a phone, which gives the state unlimited power over their lives. in America, we must absolutely defend cash. And including all these little woke coffee shops that don't want to accept cash anymore, make a scene or avoid them, but pay with cash. It says on the front of every currency note, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. They don't get to choose whether they accept your cash or not.
Well, and if we look at the Constitution, all transactions should be gold or silver, for that matter, or at least backed by such, George.
It should be, but, you know, that's why we need to get rid of the feds and go back to backing our currency by gold and silver. If we did that, I think we'd be in great position. I mean, we're buying up a lot of the gold. But, you know, something that when Eric said about 9/11, you know, since that time, we lost so many of our rights. And you have to think, was that the reason why 9/11 occurred? I know people don't want to hear that, and it's a tough subject for all, but, you know.
Guys, no, come on. 9/11 was not some conspiracy to load up those buildings with explosives. It was done by 19 crazed jihadis that wanted to destroy the United States. What you see as a response to 9/11, when the unconventional warfare part of the CIA stepped forward and they did a very effective, very decisive fight against the Taliban, and they largely crushed them in a matter of 2 months. And then when the conventional Pentagon got involved, they repeated the same Soviet battle plan for the next 19 and a half years. And that was not some grand conspiracy. That was a conspiracy of big Pentagon spending and the money, the promotion chain for all those flag officers involved and to be relevant. And so that's, you know, when the neocon argument took hold about nation building Afghanistan, instead of, we could have treated it like a Roman style Scipio Africanus punitive raid to go in and kill every Taliban, every Al Qaeda within sight or reach, no quarter given, including in the tribal areas of Pakistan, and then left and say, okay, we killed a lot this time. We're going to come back and kill three times as many next time if we have to come back. That's how it should have been conducted. But no, we did a nation building exercise, which took 20 years, multiple trillions of dollars, and we removed the Taliban from power only to be displaced by the Taliban again. And no one, and that's the other, the failing in America right now is the lack of accountability for people in positions of responsibility that utterly and totally fail.
You know, I saw an interesting interview, and I think I mentioned it to you in DM, Eric. Sean Ryan had a guy that goes by a handle on X of Legend, and he talked about Afghanistan, and obviously he's on the ground, seemed to have a lot of information. I don't know if you had a chance to catch that interview or not, but I think it's what you just said is really compelling. My problem is it has all the appearances of being intentional, because common sense, Eric Prince is available to advise the U.S. government, obviously has a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge, but it doesn't seem like it works like that. It seems like big government, this expansion past the specific 17 subject matters that our government is supposed to have and have the ability to enforce through the Constitution, it just continues to go beyond that scope. So you see this kind of the way they're operating out of the country in this, what I want to call, you know, nonstop wars. Obviously, during Trump's administration, we didn't have that. But now here we are again in multiple non-kinetic and kinetic events around the world. It just seems like it's intentional. I don't know how to call it anything but that.
I agree with you, but here's the question. I mean, General Flynn is saying virtually the same things that you are saying, Eric, and look what they did to Flynn. So, you know, where are we when people stand up is the real problem.
Look, it is. I'm close enough to it. I see people in Washington. I know the practitioners on the field of battle that were very effective after 9/11, and then I see the, you know, I was a contractor there, all over Afghanistan. It was not a conspiracy of evil to perpetuate the war from some grand plan. No, it's a conspiracy of stupidity. Of people have been totally, totally ignorant of history, totally ignorant of what works in those societies and how to influence and dominate populations. We sent generals there, and generals want to dominate terrain because they think only in military terms instead of thinking how do we dominate and rebuild a society, because they're not thinking, because to a general, their money comes from Congress, from an appropriation. Mm-hmm. Any businessman, any normal person knows that they have to create enough value somehow, whether it's through trade or mining or natural resource extraction or manufacturing or farming, to sell a product, to make money, to employ people, to continue the cycle. Generals don't think like that. And so when I even ask U.S. officials for 20 years if they've read anything of how the East India Company operated right next door, and just complete dumb faces. And so that's the United States government is an awful nation-building entity at this point, and we should acknowledge that. And so the tens of billions of dollars that are wasted in aid programs and all this other nonsense have absolutely been negative effect. The United States effectively has a fire hose of cash, which that cash falls on a lot of, I would say, small weeds of corruption, which become large trees of complete corruption, where we go. So you know what? Just stop spending the money.
Business. Amen to that. Do you think we can put the FISA 702?
Should be business. Yeah. So
go ahead, Eric.
The business of America should be business, not trade. Sorry, not foreign aid, and not pervasive military presence everywhere. And look, the American, the republic will be healthier when we pare our government, especially the federal government, way back down to size. The reason state governments live within their means is because they cannot print money.
Amen to that. Do you think it's possible to put the FISA 702 spying belligerents of our government taking authority where there was none in the first place? Is there any way to put that genie back in the bottle, do you think, Eric?
Well, I have to tell you guys, I had great frustrations with the pervasive security state for many years. And after the 2020 election, in a angry phone call between a friend of mine, we were, seeing what big tech and big government were doing on free speech and certain platforms and all the rest. I said, listen, we're never going to fix this unless we, by complaining about it, we need to build a competitive product that they cannot cancel. And so we had a team together already doing a cyber unlock, and we pivoted. We literally changed the business plan overnight and said, we're going to build our own phone completely independent of the Google or Apple universe that will run on regular networks with our own app store with thousands of compatible apps, to include Messenger, VPN, antivirus, focused on privacy and security. And we've done that now. So that's called an unplugged phone. It's what I'm calling you on right now. The difference is an unplugged phone does not have an advertising ID. So you probably don't know, your audience might not know what an advertising ID is, but it's like a 25-digit alphanumeric number, kind of a mark of the digital mark of the beast that sits on your device that is put there by Google and Apple to interact with all the apps sitting on your phone. And that alphanumeric code enables the phone to monitor where you go, what you buy, who you call, and what you browse. It allows the even more interaction with apps to turn on the microphone, to turn on the camera, to turn on the GPS of your phone when you don't know it. I've had many people I've talked to about our phone say, yeah, I was talking to my wife last night in the bedroom about needing a new mattress. And the next day, we're getting advertising for mattresses. Now, that's really
all
shocking.
Right, we're flat out of time this hour, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Prince, our guest, he'll be with us as this interview continues for the next hour. It is George Ballantyne, Lance Migliaccio, Eric Prince, and yours truly on your radio. Look, we're talking about unconstitutional big tech data collection all enabled by deep state enactment and expansion of 702 FISA. I'm calling it crimes against the American people, ladies and gentlemen. We better hold them accountable. We the people have greater numbers. We can peacefully do this if we all stand together. I am Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable.